RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Two Indonesian citizens successfully freed from hostage. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon condemns coup d'etat in Burkina Faso. The government urged to reduce ratio salary gap. Now the news in detail. The Papua New Guinea Army has freed two Indonesian citizens, namely Ladiri Sudirman and Badar, kidnapped and hostage by gunmen group a few days ago on the border between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno L.P. Marsudi at the press conference at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Friday said that the two hostages have been handed over from a Papua New Guinea team to Consul General in Vanimo, Elmar Lubis. Minister Retno added that the news about the two hostages who have been freed was received by the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia on Thursday night.
Puji syukur kita panjatkan kepada Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bahwa dua sandera warga negara.
Thank God, we pray to God that the two hostages are Indonesian citizens on behalf of Mr. Ladiri, 28 years old, and Mr. Badar, 29 years old, have been freed and have been handed over by a team from Papua New Guinea to the Consul of the Republic of Indonesia in Vanimo. The news about the hostage have been freed we received last night, Thursday, at around 19:35 p.m. Western Indonesian time.
19:35 waktu Indonesia bagian barat.
Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi said the intensive communication continued to be done by the government of Indonesia and PNG to rescue the two hostages. Besides, Indonesian President Joko Widodo also has communicated with the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea, Peter O'Neill, on Thursday night related to the release of two Indonesian citizens. Minister Retno Marsudi emphasized that the kidnapper, a gunman group affiliated with the groups of voicing allegation of human rights violation in Papua, Indonesia. Therefore, the Indonesian government hopes that the kidnappers can be immediately found and prosecuted. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has communicated with the two victims of hostage who are currently at the Consulate General of Indonesia in Vanimo and they are in good condition. According to Minister Retno, both victims of hostage will be taken from Vanimo in Skautiau, the border area of Indonesia and Papua New Guinea, by land or car. Then they will be handed over to the military commander of Cendrawasih and will be taken to hospital for medical examination before handing over to their family. The Secretary General of United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, condemned strongly on Thursday the coup d'etat in Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso Presidential Guard Corps, the security unit of former President Blaise Compaoré, announced on Thursday that the Presidential Guards have seized power in the country. On Wednesday, the guard unit attacked a meeting of the cabinet and captured the interim president, prime minister, and other leaders. Based on report of Xinhua on Friday morning, in a statement, Secretary General Ban Ki-moon affirmed that all officials of Burkina Faso who are detained should be released immediately. He also demanded the resumption of the political transition in the country in line with the transitional charter and the constitution of Burkina Faso. The UN Secretary General also denounced unrest in the country and called on security forces as well as Burkina Faso defense to exercise restraint and ensure the human rights and security of all people in the country. Government, along with the House of Representatives, is urged to lower the gap of salary ratio, not just raising the salaries of officials, including the salaries of members of the House. The chairman of the Association of Socio-Economic Strategic Cadre, Suroto, affirmed on Friday that the government and the House of Representatives actually have complex homework to balance the ratio of income or salary in Indonesia. He added that the two institutions should reduce the gap that occurs, not to worsen social and economic crisis. The present ratio or level of economic inequality in Indonesia is now 0.42. This has been the worst since Indonesia's independence. According to him, empathy must be built, remembering that people's purchasing power is now declining drastically. He urged that the proposal to raise the salaries of officials is to potentially worsen the widening social and economic inequality. In addition, poor people today have no power. Subsidy is omitted and economy is in crisis. Restriction on the ratio of salaries, he said, is necessary to suppress exploitative practices in workplace. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said on Thursday that enhancement of strategy and marketing tactics are important in facing ASEAN Economic Community at the end of 2015. In marketing Indonesia's tourism, the government utilized branding strategies which are Wonderful Indonesia and Persona Indonesia. Arif said tourism sector in ASEAN is bright with number of visits reaching 90.2 million with growth of 12% since 2013. He said that the number of visits to ASEAN consists of 60% from ASEAN countries and 32% from other ASEAN countries such as China, Japan, Korea, and India, adding that effective marketing tactic is needed to size ASEAN market. According to Arif, most of foreign tourists visiting Indonesia have been dominated by ASEAN countries. Central Sulawesi's Immigration Office in Palu Central Sulawesi on Thursday deported 5 problematic Chinese nationals to their country of origin. Local Immigration Office spokesman Tan Tawi stated on Thursday that those 5 have violated the immigration law. According to Tan Tawi, the 5 Chinese nationals identified as Xu Chang, Chen Yong, Guo Chaogin, Chen Dailong, and Chen Jian were arrested by immigration officials at the site of the Poboya gold mine on August 24th. Tan Tawi explained that the 5 Chinese nationals were flown in from Palu at 7 a.m. local time on Thursday to Soekarno-Hatta Airport in Jakarta, where they will board a connecting flight to their country of origin. He remarked that although the Chinese nationals only possess copies of their passport and tourist visas, they had worked at the gold mining site in Palu. Indonesia has been declared safe from potential tsunamis following Chile's 8.3 magnitude quake on Wednesday, said the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, on Friday. According to a report by Tempo.co, the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center had previously stated that the quake could potentially cause tsunamis across adjacent oceans, including in Chile, French Polynesia, Mexico, Ecuador, Antarctica, and Japan. Wednesday quake struck just off the coast of Chile in the Pacific Ocean at 7:54 p.m., its epicenter about 228 kilometers northwest of Santiago and 12 kilometers below the surface of the ocean. The Chilean government has evacuated coastal area sending more than 1 million from their homes. Home Minister Cahyo Kumolo rejected on Friday the plan to raise wages for president and high-ranking government officials. It's not appropriate to increase wage while the condition of society is still concerning. He said that the president and his cabinet members have also disagreed on the plan. Minister added that said the government is currently concentrating to repair the economy so that the effect of global economic slowdown can be resolved. Such efforts are done by continuing to boost optimization of budget absorption and deregulation that hampers growth and the decision-making from central and regional apparatus. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Two Indonesian citizens successfully freed from hostage. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon condemns coup d'etat in Burkina Faso. The government urged to reduce ratio salary gap. That was news from a Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, this is commentary from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia entitled Being Creative Poses Misery. High creativity even made a boy arrested. This is not a myth but a reality story that happened to a boy named Ahmed Mohammed, a 14-year-old student, when carrying homemade clock to his high school in Irving, Texas. The school site suspected that Ahmed's clock creation was hoax bomb. Action taken by the authorities in the United States was not inviolable. Ahmed, who is a boy, was arrested and handcuffed. He admitted to the authorities that what he created was his own hoax clock. Ahmed's bad luck started last Monday, September 14, when he brought his clock creation to his school. Initially, Ahmed wanted to show it to his technological teacher in order to get into the club of science lovers. But an English teacher at the school alleged that Ahmed brought a homemade bomb. Although Ahmed has tried to ensure that the clock is a digital one, the rich still had suspicion. Even some other school staff also questioned the reason why Ahmed brought the digital clock to school. After being questioned, Ahmed was handcuffed in front of his classmates and sent to juvenile detention. The local police interrogated him, but the result was there was nothing to worry about. According to Kompas Tekno, quoting the Dallas Morning News on Wednesday, September 16, the local police argued that their action was a form of vigilance. Ahmed was later released after the interrogation because the allegation could not be proven. But the story of the arrest of Ahmed triggers reaction of the social media's users after watching the show on television. They created a hashtag, #IStandWithAhmed, which was becoming the world's trending topic after it was tweeted with more than 100,000 times since Tuesday, September 15. In addition to ordinary users, U.S. President Barack Obama, through his Twitter account, also commented positively on the creation of Ahmed by offering the opportunity to Ahmed that what he was doing can inspire other children in the United States. Even President Obama also offered opportunity of showing his work to the White House. Ahmed's father, an immigrant from Sudan, Mohammed El Hassan, at a press conference in his home, expressed his pride over his son's engineering capability. Since he has lived in the United States for 30 years, such police action suffered by his son never happened. He experienced something different to his son. Mohammed El Hassan added, just because of his son's name Mohammed, and there was tragedy of September 11, Ahmed was suspected. What El Hassan expressed was reinforced by the local Council on American Islamic Relations, saying that Ahmed's father's suspicion may be reasonable, because the police would not act if the name is not Ahmed Mohammed. We should regret the excessive action taken by the local security forces against an underage teenager like Ahmed Mohammed on the reason of security. not to mention if the action was carried out discriminatively. The interests of young Americans may fade away if excessive action is committed against a kind creation made by Ahmed or other teenagers. Listener, that's commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event on September 18, 1945, North Korea proclaims its independence. After the defeat of Japan in 1945, Korean Peninsula area was occupied by the United States Army and the Army of the Soviet Union. When the northern part of Korea expressed its freedom on September 9, 1945, by Kim Il-sung, the U.S. Army withdrew from the territory of North Korea. Then the northern part of Korea officially proclaimed its independence with the name of the People's Republic of Korea on September 18, 1945, and shortly thereafter, precisely in December 1945, South Korea also proclaimed its independence with the name of Republic of People's Democratic of Korea. The establishment of the two Korea is finally heated up the political tensions on the Korean Peninsula until affected to the attack of North Korea in 1950 to the South region. On September 18, 1948, the tragedy of Madiun. The Madiun affair was a communist-led uprising in 1948 during the Indonesian National Revolution in the town of Madiun, which formed part of the broader conflict between the left and right wings of the Republican of Movement, especially around the issue of the demobilization of popular militia. Its quashing was a major blow to the Indonesian Communist Party in particular. On September 18, 1948, an Indonesian Soviet Republic was declared in Madiun, in the western part of East Java, by members of the Indonesian Communist Party PKI and the Indonesian Socialist Party PSI, judging the time as right for a proletarian uprising. They intended it to be a rallying center for revolt against Soekarno-Hatta, the slaves of the Japanese and America. The rebellion was put down within a few weeks, although the rebels had in the meantime killed East Java's governor, R.M. Suryo, pro-independence Dr. Mowardi, as well as several police officers and religious leaders. On September 18, 1981, the abolition of death penalty in France. In 1981, Robert Badinter was elected as Justice Minister of France. His first action after taking office as Minister of Justice was proposed submission to the French Parliament to abolish the death penalty immediately. Then they held voting to abolish the death penalty in France. Due to large number of votes in favor of the abolition, then it was enacted the law on the abolition of the death penalty signed on September 18, 1981, and it contains 9 chapters. The first article stated that the death penalty was abolished and other articles declared martial law and the rules of the Book of Criminal Law of France should be amended. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus. Today we'll talk about Foreign Affairs Ministry seek to free Indonesian citizens from OPM hostage. Ministry of Foreign Affairs continue to make effort to release two Indonesian citizens hostage by separatist group of Free Papua Organization OPM. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, through her short message to republika.co.id in Jakarta on Wednesday, September 16th, said that two Indonesian citizens are detained in the country. He admitted the ministry continued to seek the release of the Indonesian hostages. Previously, the two Indonesians, namely Badar and Sudirman, who worked as woodcutter in Sokfor, Kirom district, Papua, that bordered directly with Papua New Guinea. The incident occurred after the group attacked and shot the residents. The two hostages were then taken to Skoutiao, Vanimo, Papua New Guinea. Due to the location of the hostage is no longer in Indonesia, DNI Military Regional Command contacted the Consulate General of Indonesia in Vanimo and asked for help to Vanimo region and PNG troops to free the two citizens who are held hostage. Former DNI Commander and General Chairman of Hanura Party Wiranto, after open public bazaar that was organized by Srikandi Hanura at Parliament Building, Jakarta, on Wednesday, said the abduction and hostage case has tarnished the sovereignty of the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia, NKRI. He said it should be immediately handled. He insisted there should be no detention of people for unparticular reason, moreover by threats and taking hostage. He said the kidnapping incident will affect to the security and stability of the nation. Wiranto believes coordinating Minister of Political Law and Security, Minister of Defense and Security, as well as Commander of the Indonesian military have a way out to resolve the issue. Meanwhile, the Regional Commander 17, Cendrawasih, Major General Hinsa Siburian said currently, government and the Army of Papua New Guinea are still negotiating with the hostage group. It was reported Indonesian team, government, the army had met the two Indonesian citizens. Hinsa Siburian said, hopefully the two hostages were released and handed back in good health. The two Indonesians, Sudirman and Badar, worked as a woodcutter held hostage by armed groups led by Jeffrey Pagawak since September 9th. That was Focus.
Here is news in brief. Papua New Guinea Army has freed two Indonesian citizens, namely Ladiri Sudirman and Badar, kidnapped and hostage by gunmen group a few days ago on the border between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea. Secretary General of the United States Ban Ki-moon condemned strongly on Thursday the coup d'etat in Burkina Faso. Government, along with the House of Representatives, is urged to lower the gap of salary ratio, not just raising the salaries of officials, including the salaries of members of the House. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said on Thursday that enhancement of strategy and marketing tactics are important in facing ASEAN Economic Community at the end of 2015. Central Sulawesi's immigration office in Palu, Central Sulawesi, on Thursday deported five problematic Chinese nationals to their country of origin. Indonesia has been declared safe from potential tsunami following Chile's 8.3 magnitude quake on Wednesday, said the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency on Friday. Home Minister Cahyo Kumolo rejected on Friday the plan to raise wages for president and high-ranking government officials. That was news in brief.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the 4th floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Batam in Riau Islands Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Batam is the largest city in the province of Riau Islands. The town, which consisted of three islands, namely Batam, Galang and Rempang, is surrounded by ocean, so the marine tourism destinations become one of the favorite destinations in the city. Now, we invite you to come to one of marine destinations in Batam City, namely Nyirup Island. It is located southwest adjacent to Batam Island. The Nyirup Island seemed quiet from a distance. When arriving on the edge of the Yi Island's beach, you will be greeted by brown sand with rows of palm trees. The coastal area of the island is grown with dense mangroves, while the other side, there are typical trees of tropical forest as habitat of wildlife such as monkeys, lizard, and seabird. With the topographical islands, during you visit the island, you can camp, set up tents, and spend the night there. Moreover, a fairly long coastline plus the natural bed of sand make the island suitable to organize various beach sport activities, such as beach volleyball and beach soccer. For those of you who want to do snorkeling, Nyirup Island can also be a favorite place. Coral reefs are grown well here, as well as marine habitats such as colorful fish and other marine life. Listener, Nyirup Island is actually located in the northern part of the bay, which is adjacent to the Puchan Island. Due, it is flanked by a cluster of islands. The waves and the winds that hit the island is relatively quiet, so it is not danger those who want to swim or do other water activities. From the west side of Nyirup Island, you can also freely look at Pemping Island, inhabited by several fishermen families. While in the southern side, along the eye can see, there are a row of skyscrapers from neighboring countries, Singapore. Listener, to go to Nyirup Island, you need to go from Batam to Sekupang Ferry Port. From the port, you have to take a boat to the Belakang Padang sub-district. The tickets is around 10,000 rupiah per person for one way. From Belakang Padang, continue your journey by hiring a boat to the Nyirup Island. The rental price depends on the deal with the boatman. It takes about 20 minutes from Belakang Padang to Nyirup Island. Before going to Nyirup Island, make sure you bring some foods, because the island is not yet available restaurants. For those of you who want to stay overnight, there is no hotel here. but you can set up a tent near the beach, as I mentioned before. Make sure you have to bring your camping equipment. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topics Nyirup Island. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today, we take you to find out about the fate of Sakai tribe living in the remote jungle of Riau, Sumatra. Indonesia, which consists of islands, is a strategic place for some tribes in remote areas to grow well. However, there are some left-behind tribes living modernization era, which is happening in Indonesia. Let's say Sakai tribe that believes their ancestors are from Pagaruyung, a Malay kingdom which has existed in West Sumatra. Long time ago, Sakai tribe had a nomadic life. The lifestyle lives interesting cultural richness. It is seen from the heritage objects of Sakai tribe that they used in daily life in remote areas. These objects are made of natural material and their functions were still simple for daily life. The agrarian culture of Sakai is also seen in farming tools like gegalunggalo. The tool made of bamboo and tree stems functions as clam for manggalo sweet potato to take its extract. Sakai tribe also produces clothes made of natural material completely. When this tribe still lived nomadically, their clothes were made of bark. These clothes were used to survive while moving from one place to another. Regarding their faith, most Sakai people follow animism and believe in ghosts or supernatural beings. As time goes by, some of Sakai people follow religions like Islam and Christianity. But sometimes their habit is still magical. After all this time, Sakai tribe is characterized as a marginalized group living nomadically in the jungle. However, as time rolls by, their green nature where they live is getting extinct. Now, jungle where Sakai tribe used to live develops into oil industry area, forestry business, rubber and palm oil plantation, as well as economic center. Composition of the people are now more heterogeneous, with newcomers and job seekers from various groups of people in Indonesia, like Java, Minang from West Sumatra, Batak from North Sumatra, and etc. As a result, Sakai people start to lose livelihood, while they cannot do business or work in other fields. When the jungle is gradually gone, it forces Sakai tribe in remote areas to move to a better area. Now some of Sakai tribe lives in settlement areas. This what makes this tribe divided into two, the inland Sakai and the outside Sakai, so that Sakai tribe is gradually extinct. Sakai tribe is cultural richness in Indonesia. The central government should pay attention to them and maintain their existence. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the fate of Sakai tribe. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you a dangdut singer named Mirnawati. To begin the show, here is a song entitled Untuk Siapa. Happy listening.
Siapa lah
Listener, Mirnawati was popular in 1990, grabbing the heart of dangdut lovers in the country. Her first album, Jeritan Hati, composed by Maggie Z, which successfully led her to fame. The singer, coming from the city of Shalit, Brebes, then continued her success by releasing the second album composed by Yongki RM, song composer who has created many hit singles. Many singers rose to fame thanks to his songs, namely Hetikus Endang, Jamal Mirdad, the late Nike Ardila, Gusti Randa, Betaria Sonata, Etri Jayanti, and etc. Yongki's work was a challenge for Mirnawati. She tried to find a way to sing the song like the composer wants. Listener, before we move on, let's enjoy another song by Mirnawati entitled Bukan Tak Mampu. Enjoy.
Berdosakah bila aku
listener, Mirnawati, who has loud voice, strong dangdut cengkok or vocal style, and deep inspiration, could answer the challenge and sing a song Kelakuan perfectly. As a result, the album Kelakuan was acceptable nationwide. She won HDX Award for best-selling album. In the second album, Mirnawati has another hit single entitled Karang Cinta, which is covered by some other dangdut singers like Nada Soraya. Well, listener, to end our program, we play you two dangdut songs by Mirnawati called Jeritan Hati and Kelakuan. Enjoy the songs, and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.